Hallelujah. Well, somebody shout amen anyway. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we pray. Lift your hands and bless the Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you and we rejoice in your word. We come before your word with expectant hearts to receive revelation from heaven. Heaven's knowledge. Heaven's insights. Heaven's ideas and concepts. The mind of Christ. The way you think, Lord Jesus. We've thought our way of thinking long enough. It's time for us to begin to forsake our own thoughts and think your thoughts. To come up in your ways, higher ways, grander ways, greater ways. We give you praise and thanksgiving for it. And we bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you, now listen to me. Before you're seated, I want you to say to at least three people, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. I receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. I need my other desk, please, or bring this one down there. There it comes. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm taking this over to Brother Roberts. I just wanted you to know that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, gentlemen. Praise the Lord. The Word of God. I got so excited listening to Jerry and then listening to Gloria this morning. Praise God. She said, I'll tell you, I may be little, but there's more to me than you can see. And I thought, boy, you know that's right. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we can still gather in a place like this without fear and just stay in the Word of God night and day if we want to? Praise God. We're free people and we're going to stay that way. Amen. 1967. In 66, Gloria and I had a horrible car wreck. It was massive. And it was just the grace of God that Gloria and I and our children were not killed in that car wreck. And I knew where I was supposed to be. I was supposed to be at Oral Roberts University, and I wasn't there. And I was in his hospital, and my little John was just a little six-month-old baby, and he had his arm broken, four ribs broken loose from his spine, and Gloria's face is all messed up. She was sick with the flu, and there's Kelly all in just almost in shock, not quite. And I thought, man, oh man, I know what Jonah felt like. And a whale got me in Marshall, Texas, about midnight, Halloween night, 1966. Well, I began to pray, and some wonderful things happened in that hospital room, and the power of God moved in on us, And I repented before the Lord with all my heart. And the Lord did some miraculous things that night that I don't have time to go into. But But we, all of us got healed in there that night. The whole family in this one hospital room, and we all got healed. So, very outstanding manifestation of the anointing of God's power to heal. Well, the next day, my dad had to come get us because our car was completely totaled. And that car was so quiet. My dad was driving. I was on the right side there. And Gloria and my mother's in the back seat with John, and Kelly's up front there between my dad and me. And we're just riding along there. And Dad said, what are you going to do next week? I said, oh, Daddy, I don't know. Man, I mean, I'm just stunned here. I was just praying in the Spirit what little I knew to do. He said, you know, your mother and I are partners with Oral Roberts, don't you? I said, yes, sir, I know that. He said, you know, they have partner meetings up there in Tulsa from time to time. I said, yes, I understand that. Well, he said, we got an invitation to come to the partner meeting next week, but they sent us four invitations instead of two. Would you and Gloria like to go? Well, I mean, hey, I jumped at that. I said, oh, glory to God. I said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Those other two invitations, that God did that. That's glory in my invitation. I'm supposed to have been that 3 years ago, you understand? And I goofed off, messed up, running around like a fool. But I'm telling you, I wasn't a fool left, not anymore. Nuh-uh, not after that. I'll tell you, no, God didn't put the car wreck on me. I was running from God. I was out there. If I had time to tell you, I'd tell you what happened. But I don't have time. That ain't my job today. So, we went to that partner meeting. Well, I was so caught up that whole week. I'd never been anything like that before. Oh, the Spirit of God was there. And Brother Roberts was preaching. And I couldn't help it. I just hung on every word he said. And every word he said just going down in me like real hot drops of coal. Just going down in my spirit. And I'd never experienced anything like that before. And glory. Wow. Well, right at the end of the week, we had about 500 people there. And I had started into the little auditorium there. It wasn't the Mabee Center. Oh, no, we didn't have anything like that yet. And but it was a nice little auditorium. It had 500 people, just about filled it up. And it had just been a marvelous week. And I was about to go into the auditorium. I was a little late for some reason. I don't remember why. And just as I turned the corner, I ran face to face with Brother Robert. I mean, just there he was. And I said, and it had to be the Spirit of God, because I just said it. I said, pray for me. And he didn't say a word. Stand up here, David, and I'll show him what he did. He didn't say a word. He just put one hand there and one hand there, and he bowed his head for about 35, 40 seconds, turned around and went on. Well, I knew that instant that something went inside me. And I instinctively knew. I didn't know much about the anointing. Of course, I'd heard of it. But I'd never been in contact with it much, had no teaching on it at all. I knew when it was, and I knew when it wasn't. And that's about all I knew. But I knew instinctively that the anointing of this ministry was birthed in me right then. I went into that meeting, and it was very strange. My dad, A.W. Copeland, was seated about three seats down, but it was like my father was standing up there on that platform. I never heard anything like that. I didn't know there was any such thing as a spiritual father. I had a heavenly father. I knew that. I didn't know a whole lot about him. But this was strong, and it was strange. And then there was some other things happened. But I wanted you to know why I continually refer to him as my spiritual father. This ministry was born in me that day. Somebody said, why do you call Oral Roberts your spiritual father? Because he gave birth to me. That's why. Well, then the Lord gave me the grace and the mercy and the privilege of knowing him. And then he became more than just my spiritual father, became my mentor and my role model. When I grow up, I want to be just like him. And then when my dad went to heaven, he just became my daddy. That's all. Amen. And so I'm telling you this because I want to bring honor to him. Scripture says, bring honor to whom honor is due. And to give him an opportunity to say something to this congregation if he'd like to. Stand here, or you want to go up there?
Whatever you want me to do.
No, it's what you want to do. You're the daddy. I'm just the kid.
No.
Yes.
Something good is going to happen to you.
Yeah.
And expect a miracle.
Amen.
Well, Kenneth is telling it like it is. And that was 40, 45 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, 42.
42 years ago. And I knew he was a young man of God and that he was going places in the Lord's work. And I've loved him and Gloria and their children with a passion ever since. They've been dear to my heart. And they've had the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them from their heads to their feet. And I trust them with my life. And he's the closest friend I have in this world. And I thank him for that. I'm 91 and a half years old today.
Hallelujah.
And I'm happy in the Lord. I preached the last five Sundays. And and when they came and told me that Ken and Gloria and the other pastors were here, I just had to come.
Praise
just
God.
Just had to come.
Oh, hallelujah.
And I praise God for the opportunity to be in the house of God, to be where the Spirit of the Lord is. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. And there's freedom in the Spirit today. Praise God for every one of you. I love you, and I trust you'll be blessed today.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
I love you, sir.
Oh. I got you.
Amen. Well, give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's open our Bibles today. So the book of James, we'll go back to our base scripture. And we'll comment on this verse of scripture once more, and then we will put it into operation from the 11th chapter of the book of Mark. And of course, it's not just the 11th chapter of Mark. What we're going to come to today, and what the Spirit of God has designed for us to know today, is how, not just that you should or that it's the thing to do, but how do you put the words of Jesus into your mouth and they become, not your words, they become His words in your mouth. They carry His power, His authority. Amen. And so there is a process. It's not the only way, but I'm going to give you the basic fundamentals today. And then you can take from there and you can pray and seek the Lord, and He'll show you how to apply it in your own life. Now, James chapter 1, once again, verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. So, now, didn't you love that last night when Brother Keith's talking about thinking with the mind of Christ?
Yes.
Now, think with the mind of Christ here. If the Word says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't just skip past that. It says, do not err. All right, sir, I won't. So what He's about to tell me is information that'll not only keep me from making error in the Spirit, but if I've already made that error, correct it right now. Huh? This is a way you stay out of man-made doctrines and traditions that make the Word of God of no effect. And this will fold right into what we're talking about here today. Now, my beloved brethren. Oh, I'm a beloved brother. Wonderful. Well, Brother Copeland was even talking about you. I beg your pardon. Thank you very much. This is my Bible, bless God. It's talking to me. I am a beloved brethren. I am my Father's beloved. I am in the beloved. The beloved is in me, and the Scripture calls me His beloved. Well, that's wonderful information, isn't it? Uh-huh. Well, what about some night when you can't go to sleep? You ought to be doing this every night when you go to bed. And you go over to the 127th Psalm, and it says to rise up early and stay up late, feeding on the bread of sorrow is vain. Vain means all that trouble for nothing. Because He gives His beloved sleep. Ah, now this scripture has come alive. I am a dearly beloved. You see, the devil will tell you all kinds of lies about that. Yeah, but you know, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. I am not. I was an old sinner. I got saved by grace. I am not an old sinner. I'm a child of the living God. I am born of the Spirit. And like Gloria said this morning, praise God, there's more to me than what you can see. I'm bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Amen. Now, excuse me. You see what I'm doing here? I'm not just reading my chapter for the day. You ought to read a chapter every day, at least. I'm not just reading my chapter, but I'm applying every word of God. This is Jesus sitting right in front of me, talking to me by the Holy Ghost. And so I'm applying, I'm putting his words to work in my life. I'm applying them. I meditate on them. If this is what God says, now then how does this change my thinking? How does this change my life? Now, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now, how many churches, how many denominations, how many Christian people sick and dying and in poverty and broke and debt and broken families and all that kind of thing? And how much of that could have been saved if they just read those two verses right there? Did you hear what my father said there a while ago?
Something good
is going to happen to you. God is a good God.
Amen.
I had a guy call me out one time because Brother Robert said that. Jumped on me. Got mad. He couldn't get to him, so he jumped on me. Well, that's fine. Amen. I'm jumpable. But I'm apt to respond. You know, I don't just stand there and look at you. And he said, I get tired of hearing old Robert say God is a good God. I said, well, what you want him to say? God is a bad God about half of the time? Well, that's actually what he was thinking, but when he heard it, it didn't sound good. In his mind, he thinks God was about as bad as he was good. Well, that's what religion will teach you. Genetically altered Bible will give you that viewpoint. But if you just read that verse right there, stop that. See? No. His error was from religion. But this says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Father of lights? Ah. I remember a scripture that said we are born of the light. That God is light. Ooh, I hadn't got but two verses here and this is getting good, brother. Amen. I'm in line for good gifts. If they're coming down from the Father of lights, they must be coming to the children of light and coming through the children of light out to where the darkness is, so God will hear His voice and see His light in lands where it's dim. Hallelujah. I don't preach myself happy. And we hadn't gotten through two verses yet. Glory. Now, let's go on then. This is an example of verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Well, I don't believe I'm deceived. Really? Huh? No, they're all deceived, not me. Oh, well, now wait a minute here. Don't err, my dear brother. No. What we're seeing here is that by not being a doer of the word, like we just these few examples here, where you're looking into the word. Well, let's just read on because he'll tell you what it is. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. He beholds himself and goes his way and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. If you're just reading to read or you just read in church, you won't get to the car in the parking lot till if somebody asks you what that pastor preached, you don't even know. Well, I don't really remember what he said, but it sure was good, wasn't it? You don't get away with that around Oral Roberts. No. You come back. I'm going to warn you right now. When he's preaching, take notes and keep them in your pocket. Because when you say, and you will, because your spirit is thrilled over what Brother Roberts preached, and you come up and say, Brother Roberts, oh, that was a wonderful message. He's going to hang on to your hand. You can't get it back. And he's going to say, what about it was wonderful? And he's going to get right up in your face. I'm telling the truth, aren't I? And he's going to get right in your face. He's going to say, what was wonderful about it? What did I say? See, you just looked in a glass and walked off. Why? You didn't intend to put to use what you heard. Now, let's go back over to flight school. You better listen. Because you're going to have to go fly this thing when this man gets through teaching you what he's teaching you. Particularly if you're a combat pilot. You better listen. Because somebody is going to flame your backside if you don't pay attention to what they tell you. You're going to wind up real dead. Well, I'm going to tell you something that's even stronger than that. If you don't pay attention to this book, you're going to wind up real dead. You've got an enemy, and he's a trickster, and I'll guarantee you he'll lie to you while you're standing there knowing he's lying and get away with it. Unless you know the book and you read it intending to hear it and do what it said. So I learned right quick when I was there at Oral Roberts University. I was part of the flight crew, and then later on, you've heard me tell the story. I learned, if you're going to say something to him about the message you preach, you better well have at least 3 good points that he made, or keep your mouth shut. You're going to get embarrassed. Amen. Well, and he still caught me flat-footed more than once. But thank God he wasn't just suggesting things to me. He was pushing me into that place of pay attention. Wake up! You remember what Brother Keith said last night that the Lord said to him by the Spirit? There are 2 kinds of people in this world. There are those that are dead and those that are asleep. And you can't tell the dead ones and the asleep ones apart until you wake them up. While they're asleep, they look like they're dead. Well, what'll wake you up when you intend to go to the Word of God? What does it say of itself? Whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty. This book is the perfect law of liberty. There is no way to defeat this book. You can defeat yourself, but there's no way to defeat this book. Well, Brother Copeland, I tried that faith stuff and it didn't work. No, sir. No, sir. That faith stuff tried you and you didn't work. Well, it didn't make any sense to me. It wasn't supposed to make sense. It makes faith.
Thank you.
Forgive me for hollering at you, but I'm excited about it. Hallelujah. I'm more excited about it than I've ever been in my life. 42 and a half years have come and gone, and I'm just getting started. Praise God. Well, I mean, we're learning things now that we've been crying out for 40 years. I'm not going to miss this. People right in there, Kenneth Copeland ministry, say, is Brother Copeland retiring? Is he quitting? That'll be the day. No, sir. I ain't dead yet. And I'm hungry for God.
Yes.
And I'm stronger in the spirit and I'm stronger in my body.
Amen.
Than I've ever been. Well, then why are the kids on there so much? Well, dear Lord, you're going to put these kids to work sometime or another. No, I'm not quitting. We are expanding.
Yes.
Their ministries and their anointings are strong and powerful. Hallelujah. They're stronger in their lives now than we were at that stage, and they should be. They should be stronger than us from now on out, praise God. Success without a successor is a failure. And I'm glad to say that I've got a whole family full of them, kids and grandkids. Amen. And the Word of God works in their lives, and healing works in their lives. Every one of them prosperous in their own faith, their own ways. Glory. Hallelujah. Now, the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, that's verse 25. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, this man shall be blessed. What did he just say? This man will manifest the blessing of Abraham. That's what this is all about. Turn to the third chapter of the book of Galatians. Let me show you something here. Galatians chapter 3, and look at verse 8. Galatians 3, verse 8. The Scripture. Well, let's read the 7th verse. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The Scripture, say the Scripture. Now, is the Scripture the voice of God or not?
Yes.
Yes, it is. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify or make righteous the heathen through faith. Now listen. Preached. Whoa. God's preaching here. Preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. Now that says that's the gospel. If God calls that the gospel, I dare you to call it anything else, or to call anything else the gospel.
Amen.
Well now, Brother Copeland, I thought salvation was the gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. I thought healing was the gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. I thought divine prosperity was the gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. I thought the shed blood of Jesus was the gospel. It is. It's part of the blessing. But you put all that together. You put the integrity of the Word, the covenant of blood, the power of God, the power in the name, the resurrected Lord Jesus, everything He did and everything He ever will do. You put it all together. Salvation, healing, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit, manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Put it all together, and it is the blessing of Eden. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. The good news, if you be in Christ Jesus, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, glory to God. Wow! If it hadn't been for that, you and I never would have got in it. Oh, the grace and the mercy of God. Oh, I give God glory and praise for my Jewish brethren. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God for them. Amen. And it was the law and the prophets that made way so that Jesus came into this earth, praise God, and fixed it so that I could be the seed of Abraham and heirs according to that blessing. Hallelujah. Now I know what it means when Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What was He preaching to those people? Remember, He's preaching to the house of Israel, right? They had not been hearing the blessing of Abraham. They had been hearing rules and religious regulations. And He began to teach them that they were the seed of Abraham and that they're blessed. Blessed are the poor. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Not because they're poor, but they are blessed because they're the seed of Abraham and the kingdom belongs to them. They don't have to stay poor anymore, do they? And He said, I'm here to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. First time I ever heard that sermon, Oral Roberts preached it, and I'll tell you, I couldn't hardly hang on to my seat. I wanted to jump and run so bad. I did later. And he began to walk across that platform. Back then, they had a big old tall microphone and stood on a microphone stand. I don't know how he did that. But he preached with that thing. He was as quick with that, dragging that microphone around, as I am with this one tied to my neck. And the funny part of it was, he'd lean over like that, and that microphone and lean over, he'd turn it loose and he'd stand back up. I never did get to look at the bottom of that thing and see how they did that. But he began to preach Jesus the Jubilee. Preaching the acceptable year of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I'm telling you, it rings in my ears today. I don't read Luke 4 without hearing His voice. Because I hear Him say, poor man, you don't have to be poor anymore. I'm here. Blind man, you don't have to be blind anymore. I'm here. Sick man, you don't have to be sick anymore. I'm here. I am the Jubilee of God, and you are blessed. Man, I'm telling you, it's doing me the same way right now. It just gunned me till I thought, dear, God, that's mine. That's my Savior that said that. That's my Lord that said that. I'm just as much a seed of Abraham as He was and is. I'm His joint heir. I'm rich now. It's just a matter of time for it to get to me. I didn't have money enough to get out of sight. You understand? But I saw it in my spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now then, what are we doing when we make the decision to be a doer of the Word? We go into the Word looking for, you can make a note of these if you'd like. And there's others, but this will help you get started. We read the Word as if Jesus is standing in front of you, speaking to you directly as your Lord and Savior and as your best friend. You are looking into the Word for correction. Which will bring direction. Which will produce perfection. And it will provide protection. Now, if you've got any idea that you got some kind of automatic protection just because you're born again, yeah, you have it. It is automatic, but it don't work until you pull the trigger. There's a faith connection there that has to be made. And there are things that you can be doing things that just tear your protection all to pieces. You don't even know it.
That's right.
You can be going around saying things, well, I'll tell you, I guess this thing just came on me from heaven. Well, we've already read better than that.
Amen.
See, now that verse would protect you from that. So you think, hey, I've been saying something that's error. I'm not going to say that anymore. Well, you just helped yourself get out of saying stuff that was working against you instead of for you.
Amen.
You understand what I'm getting at here? All right. I'm reading the Word. I'm allowing it to correct me, direct me, perfect me, and protect me. If you're not willing to be corrected, you're not going to get directed. And if you're not going to get directed, you're not going to get perfected. If you're not going to get perfected, you ain't no way you're protected. Because you'll be in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people doing the wrong thing, saying your own damnation and destruction. I mean, that's just the way it is. Well, that don't seem fair to me. You got a book, don't you? Huh? If you ain't got money enough for a Bible, go back there, we'll get you one. If you got a Bible, you can make it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, sir. I don't want to get caught out without my Bible.
Amen.
No. I'd rather get caught out without my britches than I had my Bible. No, I can take my Bible and get me some britches. Amen. Whoa. That's God's Word, man. No, this is my companion.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's go back over here where we were in Mark 11. Because here, we're going to use this teaching of Jesus again as an example and an instrument to learn how to do this. These are words that He spoke while He was here on the earth. And He said, heaven and earth pass away, but my word won't. So there's alive today as they ever were. Now, also remember, we won't take time to go over there, but you can make note of it. In Hebrews chapter 3, the first part of that chapter, well, really you ought to read that in. You ought to read all of chapter 2 and 3 together in the book of Hebrews, at least. Because it's one flowing discourse. But we are partakers of His calling. He's called of God.
Amen.
Same way you and I are called of God. Jesus is called of God. And this it we have our part of His calling, His ministry.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody does. Not just the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. We are called to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry.
Amen.
We weren't called to entertain you. We were called to perfect you.
Amen.
In the Scripture. That's the reason we spend all our time in this. You may be called into some other field that God where God needs you. Well, you're going to have to spend time in that too. So that's the reason why we have this duty to feed you the Word of God so you can take it and take it out there in the field where your calling is and walk in there with the anointing that is on us. It's on you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, Mark 11, we talked about this fig tree. Jesus spoke to it, and there was no evidence of change until 24 hours later when they walked back by it, and then they called attention to it. Jesus didn't call attention to it because, I mean, He'd already said what He said and gone on. He didn't have to look at it to see if it's going to wither up. But Peter called attention to it and said, whoa, look at there. What happened to that tree? Dried up, withered up from the roots. So then Jesus taught them how it worked, who could do it, and then he used it in their presence to release it not only for them, but for you and me.
Amen.
The same principle.
Amen.
Now look at it. Jesus said to them, have faith in God. All right, now what do I do with that? Yes, sir. I obey, sir. It ain't time to argue and whine around about it. I don't feel this or feel that off. Just shut up. If the man in charge, the man himself, says, have the faith of God, yes, sir. And I have the faith of God.
Amen.
I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord.
Amen.
I got a job to do. And when the commander-in-chief tells me to have faith in God, that's the end of that. I have faith in God.
Amen.
He wouldn't tell me that if I didn't have it.
Amen.
Or if it wasn't available to me. So I might have thought yesterday that faith just kind of comes and goes, and only some special called person has special kind of faith, you know, or something. But not anymore. I mean, there it is right there. I can't think that anymore. Not without insulting him, and not without actually disobeying the chain of command. He has said, have faith in God. Yes, sir. I obey, sir. I have faith in God. What did I just do? I put his words in my mouth. I got rid of my words. I put his words in my mouth. Now, I ain't going to talk anything else. For verily, well, that settled it. Verily. That means absolutely of a truth. Verily. Why would he start off with something like that? Why would the Son of the Living God have to say from time to time, I'm telling you the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Because it's too good to be true. And it's true is the reason it's so good. But it violates human thinking. And has to pull you up on God thinking. You have to think with the mind of Christ. And the way you do that is be obedient to what it says. Did you ever have any idea about changing your way of thinking? The scripture said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways higher than your ways. Well, I guess I'll just be dumb the rest of my life then. I'm down here with these bad ways. I wish I'd get up there with God. He said, let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. What does the word forsake mean? Turn your back on it and say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Amen. But there is a process for changing your way of thinking. Where'd you get your way of thinking? From your mama. And if she was messed up, you messed up just like her. unless your mama's in the Word of God. Amen. You ought to start your babies off thinking the Word of God before they ever come out of the womb. Read the Bible to them. You know, they've got things now that were developed for women that are carrying a child. You can strap that thing around, and there's little speakers on it, and you can just feed the word to that little fella. And the Bible, the Bible's influence and power has been proven to affect the brain of an unborn child. They're not fetuses. I'm tired of hearing that.
That's right.
They're people. You can train them. And they should be trained on the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. One man, very close friend of mine, and close friend of our families, his oldest son, when they'd put on certain music and things, and every time they would put on that record that I recorded some years ago, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. Cannot be defeated, no, and I will not quit. They put that on, and that child started kicking.
Whoa.
I mean, really kicking. And after he was born, you could turn on I Cannot Be Defeated, and that baby just go wild. He already knew that song, man. I'm telling you. That little fellow prophesied the birth of his sister that was to come. And his mama was pregnant and didn't know it yet. And they came in from service one night. He's standing in there in the bedroom. Thank you, Lord, for my sister. Thank you, Lord, for my sister. Oh, thank you, Lord, for my little sister. And Lynn said her first thought was, I'm not pregnant. And then she thought, I don't think. But she was. See, of course he's a special child. All of them are special. But the thing that caused him to stand out was the fact that he had the Word in him, so the Word of God separated him from his mother's womb. He was just ahead of everybody else. Amen. Now, have faith in God. Yes, sir. For verily I say unto you. Every time you find you, that means me. I say unto you, whosoever, wow, that ended this idea that, well, you never know who's going to have faith or some special calling to have faith. No, no. Whosoever can use the faith of God. Amen. Whosoever can have the faith of God. Amen. Whosoever. Well, I'm a whosoever. I remember the first time I ever saw that. Whosoever can have the faith of God. I tell you, I jump straight up, man. I'm a whosoever. Hey, can't nobody take that away from me. And people have been trying to for 40 years. And the more they try, the tougher I get. No, sir. I've got these words in my mouth. And you have to purposely do it. Take it. Put it in there. I have faith in God. And I say that I can say. I'm a whosoever, so I can say. I can say by faith just the same as my spiritual father, Oral Roberts, can say by faith. Why? It's not because he's an apostle of healing. No, that's not why it worked. It worked because he's a believer.
Amen.
And he fulfilled his calling as an apostle and a New Testament evangelist. Can you see that?
Amen.
I mean, these things didn't work for the Apostle Paul because he's an apostle. They worked for him because he's a believer. These things didn't work for Peter because he was an apostle. They worked for him because he's a believer. He said in the book of Acts, after the miracle of the temple, that man come running through there. He said, hey, don't look at me like that. Don't look on us like that. It's not by our special calling or holiness that this man was made strong. It is because of faith in the name of Jesus. Now, men turned around and disobeyed what the man said and thought because of his holiness and special calling, these ministries were coming through the Apostle Peter. and that he was, so they made him out, he was special, yeah. But they put him in a place where he said, that's not why it happened. He said his faith in the name of Jesus caused this to happen. Amen. Well, if you think that much of him, you ought to believe what he said.
Amen.
Not by my holiness or my calling that this miracle before you took place. It's by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So, what's happening here? I'm being corrected just by obeying it. I'm being corrected. Somebody says something crosswise of that, I don't have to jump down their throat about it. But I just said, no, wait a minute. You know, God bless them, but that ain't what the Word says. Here's what the Word said. I'm going to put Jesus' words in my mouth. Now, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Now, I don't have time to get into this right now. You need to study this out. Use your concordance. Look up the word be. Go through all the scriptures and so forth. Keith Moore's got some dynamite teaching on this. You need to go get that. But in the very first chapter of the Bible, first verses, light be. The English translation was, let there be light. Trying to translate that Hebrew word. And it was, of course, you have to understand the people that translated it were religious translators. The Hebrew language at that time, and particularly King James Bible, was not a living language. It was spoken religiously. If they'd just gone to the Jews, they could have found out more about it than what they had. But they did the best of what they had to work with at the time. But go to a Hebrew Bible. Go study the Chumash and study the Hebrew translations. And what I'm trying to get you to do is study instead of sitting around like a bump. Amen. God said, light be. Light was. Be made whole. What's the word amen mean? What does it mean? So what?
Be.
So be it. Be removed. Be cast into the sea. B's a big word. A whole lot bigger than two letters. Now, I got to tell you a little story about this. You still got time? Yeah, you got some time. Oh, my. I was on my first trip. You know, the day I registered, I went up to the... I disobeyed the rules the first day. Now, I registered there at ORU in the sixth floor. Students don't go to the sixth floor. That's the Vatican up there, man. You don't go up there. Not on that sixth floor. I'm just kidding. And you do understand that, don't you? I'm just kidding. Okay. But I got out to the front of the LRC. I just registered. I'm happy. I'm going to go home and tell Gloria, you know, that now we're completely, totally broke. But I'm registered. And I got out there, and the Lord stopped me. This happened to me three different times since I've been in the ministry, and this was the first time. My feet stuck. And I didn't know about hearing the voice of God. I knew more about it than I thought I did. Because I had experienced it, but I wasn't all that sure what it was because I didn't know how to line it up with the Word. But I stopped there and I tried to go. I said, what is it? And I stood there for a minute. He jumped on me, and I told you about this earlier. He got all over me a few days before for laying there on the floor doing all that crying and praying instead of listening. And when I hushed up, he said, it's about time. I can't get a word in edgewise. Stand upright on your feet. And then I came to attention. He said, I called you. I sent you here. I will take care of you here. Now you get yourself over there and you register in school. Boy, it ended that. So, I'm standing. He said, go to the sixth floor. Go to the sixth floor. All right. And my feet came unstuck. So I went back in there and I got in the elevator. I went up to the fifth floor. But, well, hey, now wait a minute. They already told us there ain't going to be no students on that sixth floor. You keep yourself off that sixth floor. Just forget it. And I didn't want to start this whole thing off disobeying the rules. I'd already been there for 30 years. So I went to the fifth floor. You have to realize now this is 1967. This is January of 1967. And the doors opened on the fifth floor and there wasn't a thing there. It's where eventually the library was. But there wasn't anything in there but on that fifth floor. There was stuff on the first three floors. There's stuff on the sixth floor. There wasn't anything on the fifth floor. And I'm looking around in there. And I said, boy, I must have missed this. I got back in the elevator and I'm stuck. I said, what? He said, I never told you to go to five. I told you to go to six. I said, they won't let you go up there. That's the sixth floor. He said, they're working for me. I told you to go to that sixth floor. Now you get up there now. So, man, I boogied right on up there. But, and then it dawned on me, the doors opened in the sixth floor, and there it was. There's Ruth Rooks. I didn't know who she was then. Ruth Rooks sitting right there. Oh, my goodness. Dr. Messick's office is right there. Ron Smith's office is over here. And Oral Roberts' office is right there. And I forgot to ask God what I'm supposed to say. I am in trouble here. And thank God I was 30 years old because they didn't know I was a student until I told them. So I didn't get kicked out, because I had pimples on my face or something. And so I'm standing there and then I told them that the only thing I could think of at the moment. I told them I'm a commercial pilot. I just registered as a student today. I need all the help I can get. I know you guys got an airplane. Thank you very much. Well, he had walked up right behind me and I didn't know he was there. I turned around. Well, you see how tall he is and he's this much taller than me. And he was just standing there. I mean, he's this close, And he said, I'm Oral Roberts. I said, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha- said, I just stammered around and stood there. And he said, I understand you're a commercial pilot. I said, yes, sir. He said, 2 weeks ago, I started to hire a co-pilot, but the Spirit of God said there's a student coming that's supposed to have the job, and you're my man. He leaned over there to Ms. Rooks, and he said, tell Bob DeWeese, we have our co-pilot. He's turned around and walked on. Well, on the first trip now, we flew to the first meeting, and I saw something that I didn't know what to do with it. And I saw him use his faith on purpose. I never heard of such a thing. Actually direct it. And the thought hit me, he used his faith like a mechanic uses a tool. I never heard of anything like that. Well, the next meeting, my boss came over to me and he said, now, you go to the invalid room where they have all the invalid patients where they can't manage the crowds in the prayer line. And he said, now, Brother Roberts will give an invitation and then Brother DeWeese will come out and he'll minister to those that have answered the invitation. And Brother Roberts goes into his prayer cubicle and he prays for his partners and he lays hands on the prayer request. And he said, you be in that invalid room, there's speakers in there, and you pay attention to the message that he preaches. And the moment he gets through, you've got about 5 minutes before he gets in there. He's going to come in there and pray for all those people first and then go back out and pray in the prayer line. And he said, you remind those people what he just preached, and you got about 5 minutes. So, man, I mean, I got my notebook. I'm outlining that sermon. You may be sitting down on the outside, but stand up on the inside. Move something you couldn't move if it wasn't nothing but your little finger. And I mean, I'm writing all this down. And he then, when he walked in, I'm going back over those points of that message. And when he walked in, I just stepped back and, well, he walked up there and surveyed that room. And I thought, you know, he's going into action here any minute. And I'm going to be right behind him. Glory to God. He reached over and got me by the coat of my only altered suit. Caught me and pulled me over there to him, and he said, "You're going to do the praying, and you're going to do the laying on of hands." Well, my favorite line, of course, was "Hum, hum, 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 hum," and I could feel all the color running out of my face, and he smiled and looked at me. And he said, don't worry about it. I'm going to be standing right there next to you. If you make a mistake, I'll correct it. I said, well, here we go. I didn't have a clue what I'm supposed to do. I ain't never prayed for nobody in my life. Oh, maybe, God bless him forever or something. We just started to pray and minister to this woman. And he said, and don't touch them till you're ready to release your faith. Oh, God. How do you do that? Well, I had heard the message on the point of contact. And I'm pulling up everything I got. Think, because we're walking over, and here lies this woman, weighs about 70 pounds, that's got a tumor in her belly, and she is so weak she can't move. And that's going to be the first one. And he tells me, don't touch her till I'm ready to release my faith. Well, I wasn't too sure how to get a hold of it, much less release it. I didn't know this yet. On Mark 11:23, because see, that's what Jesus was saying about directing your faith toward that mountain. On purpose. And I thought, I've been studying the authority and the power of the name of Jesus. I'm gonna hang my faith on the name of Jesus. That's going to be my point of contact. And when I touch them, I'm not going to touch them till I speak the name of Jesus. And all this is going on while we're making about 4 steps towards that woman on that couch. And I'm thinking, couldn't he have picked somebody that ain't dead? The woman was so close to dead, man, she couldn't move. And she couldn't raise up. She tried to raise up when we started over there, and her nurse had to put her hands behind her back and pick her up. They brought her in there in an ambulance, man. Cancer, tumor of the belly, stomach sticking way out here, and everywhere else she's just skin and bone. But here we go. I took one more step And what I know now to be really the gift of faith. I mean, it's God's faith. I didn't have that kind of faith. By the time I made that last step, I was ready. And I said, in the neck. And I was about that far from touching her head because I was going to say, Jesus, just like that. That's what I had in mind, man. And before I could get out the name of Jesus, as far as I got right there, I heard from right here, the line of the tribe of Judah. You foul spirit, in the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve, you turn loose of God's property now. I'm just standing there just going like this. And man, wham, I stuck my hand on her head. And he just stood there like this. Man, she went... And she spit that tumor out on the ground. We were in a tent. She spit that tumor out on the ground. Jumped up off that cot and started running around the room. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And I saw the first time somebody use his faith in the name of Jesus and fire it point blank right into the face of that cancer devil in the name of Jesus. And I want you to know that nasty, unclean thing left that dear sister and she spit that old ugly, nasty tumor out on the floor and got up and ran off. Hallelujah. And that's when I made up my mind right then. This is for me. This is for me. Oh, this is why I was born. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. I'll stand up and let's give the Lord praise here. Hallelujah. Oh, my, 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 my. Oh, my, 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 my. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed Lord, blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say it out loud, in the name of Jesus. I have the faith of God. I put the words of Jesus in my mouth. I put His word in my spirit. It is the word of the living God. I have been authorized by the Most High God. Use the Most High name and to speak His word without doubt and without reason except to release my faith and bring glory to God and deliverance to the people. Give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We'll receive our speaker's offering now. All of this offering, 100% of it, will go into our speakers. It will be divided equally, which does not include Glory in Me. We are well cared for. Praise God. And We don't take anything out of their offerings for expenses or anything else. No, we add to their offerings. The ministry sows into their offering. Gloria and I personally have been given assignment this week of what we're supposed to do with the speaker's offering. As always, we always have an assignment where the speakers are concerned. Praise the Lord. Because we're ministered to here as much or more than anyone. Hallelujah. Father, we pray over the offering this afternoon in the name of Jesus. We receive instruction and direction from the throne of grace on what we are to do to bless and to sow into the lives, the ministries, the families, and the outreaches of the ministries of our speakers that you have brought into our midst. You said, if you receive whom you send, we receive you. And we receive them. We receive them as if it was you, Jesus. And we bless them accordingly. And we thank you for it. We will obey. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need an envelope for your offering, particularly if you're giving cash, would you raise your hand and the ushers will minister to you? Fill that offering envelope out plainly, please. Don't write in other tongues. Write it where we can read print, please. Amen. Hallelujah. And just obey the Lord. I have my faith released and I am believing God with all my heart, with and for all of you. Yesterday we talked about this. If your assets have been cut, if you've been laid off your work, if your salary's been cut, or whatever it is, if you've been diminished in any way, you write that down on a piece of paper. If God has instructed you today to put $100 in this offering, and you figure that you have lost, $5,000, whatever it was, $100, $10,000, whatever it was, then you add that to your offering. You put the offering in the offering container, you put that note in your pocket or in your purse, and you consider that as seed sown. You sow it faster than the devil can take it away from you. You understand what I'm saying here? You meditate on this and you'll understand it. Amen. And God will bless it. God will not only get it back for you, He'll teach you how to reap a harvest for seed of equal benefit. That's what it's called. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You get rained out on your first crop, and you lost the money that it took to buy that seed. No, you don't quit and cry about it. You go buy the seed, you plant a second crop, and you believe God, and God will give you harvest big enough to cover both those costs. And still give you 100-fold on your harvest. Hallelujah. God didn't create the kingdom of God for His people to be losers. We are victors. We're not victims. Amen. Ushers, go ahead and receive the offering. People are obedient to the voice of the Lord. Amen. Creflo! Creflo $1 billion. $1 billion Creflo.
Sharing that testimony, yeah, about you being in the invalid room and all of the color left your face. And I thought, Cherokee gave birth to Cherokee, and then all the color left your face and it ended up in my face.
Now, you know that ain't no bona fide revelation, don't you? I love you, man.
Love you too, sir.
You know there ain't no bounds on you here, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go for it.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we give honor to God, to my spiritual father, Kenneth Copeland, and spiritual mother, Gloria Copeland. And my spiritual grandfather is here today, Oral Roberts. And we are having a reunion. Amen. Father, we thank you for this and other opportunity to minister to these, your precious sheep. Thank you, Lord, that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted and unhindered by any satanic or demonic force. Father, I pray that you will speak through my vocal cords and think through my mind, none of me and all of you. And I thank you, Lord, for a tangible presence of your spirit in this place. Touch and heal and deliver, set free and make whole. Whatever's wrong, make it right. Send every devil to flight and give us light. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, I want to start off with something here. This Bible, this is the Word of God. This is the integrity of God. This is the covenants of God. Without this Bible, we would not know how to believe. Without this Bible, we wouldn't have the ability to have a sound mind with sound thinking. Without this Bible, we don't even know how to talk like we ought to talk. So the Word of God has been given to us so we'll know how to think. And then once we understand how to think in line with the Word of God, then we know how to believe. Once we know how to believe in line with the Word of God, then we know how to speak. And then we can get everything in line with God's Word, then you'll know how to have victory. Amen. However, if you have wrong thinking, you're going to have wrong believing. Then if you have wrong believing, you're going to do some wrong talking. So if you got wrong thinking, wrong believing, wrong talking, you're going to lose. You're absolutely going to be defeated. I was talking to Andre Crouch this morning on the phone, he and his sister. And they began to testify about how this attack came on his body and gangrene got on his toe, and it was a sudden attack. And he said he made his mind up that he was going to think in line with God's word. He made his mind up that he wasn't going to say anything in fear and anything outside of God's word. And he made his mind up that he was going to believe only that word and shared a supernatural healing that has taken place with his body and is taking place with his body. And I said to him, I said, Pastor Crouch, every trial has an expiration date. And I say to you this afternoon, whatever you may be going through, it has an expiration date. Trouble don't last always.
Right.
Now, here is better news. Your expiration date is here, praise the Lord. I don't think y'all understand what I'm saying.
I'm telling you, don't wait another week. Don't wait another month. Don't put up with it another day. The expiration date is here right now. You're going to think right. You're going to believe right. You're going to speak right. You're going to win right. Hallelujah. Now, the underlining issue to this, this is something that is so, so vital. I understand that things are going on in the world. I understand that the world's having their financial crisis. That is their crisis. That is the world's crisis. That is not the crisis of the body of Christ. We are in Goshen. They are in Egypt. Are you listening to me? In Egypt, they had lack. In Egypt, they didn't have lights. It was dark in Egypt. But in Goshen, they continued to multiply. In Goshen, they continued to increase. Welcome to Goshen. Now, I want y'all to hear me now. I want you to hear me. I will not for one moment be afraid, because let me tell you something. My question is, why is the devil in a panic mode? What is it that's about to break forth? What is it that's about to break loose? What is it that's about to happen? I mean, I believe that you're getting ready to, listen, you're coming out of this thing better than, you know, before it started. In fact, and I've been training people, we've got to understand how to remain, listen to me, in the right tense, T-E-N-S-E, not the future tense, and not even the past tense, but the right now. And so when I say, you know, when you hear somebody say you're going to be out of debt, well, you're operating in hope and not faith. No, I'm out of debt. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Oh, it's gonna be all right after a while. No, it's all right right now. No, God's going to take care of me in the future. No, God's taking care of me right now. Hope always deal with the future tense. Faith is always right now. You take what the Word of God has to say about you, and that's what you say about yourself right now. We're going to have to pour it on. We're going to have to get aggressive, and we're going to have to have violent faith, and that simply means we're going to be consistent about it. We're getting ready to pour it on, and when you are consistent and diligent about your faith, I mean, it will turn into a force that will rearrange and change things in your life. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. God Almighty, listen, God Almighty is prepared to do some awesome things in your life if you'll think right, if you'll believe right, and if you will confess right, and if all that is lining up with God's Word, then you better get the party hats out and light the candles, baby. It's party time in the body of Christ. I said it's party time in the body of Christ. I said it's party time in the body of Christ. I didn't say it's party time when you see it happen. I say it's party time right now. All right, now here's what I want to deal with today. Here is the underlining issue. This is something, this is an adjustment that you have to make in order to enter into this. Let's begin this afternoon in 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm talking to you this afternoon about the necessity of developing in honor. The necessity of developing in honor. Because without it, and without an understanding, a practical understanding of how to honor God, and without a practical understanding of the laws that govern honoring God, then even though you understand the principles of faith, without honor, you're out of line and you're out of position. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And when you get to chapter 2, look at verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. Let's read verse 30 out loud together. Ready? Read. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Those who honor me, I will honor them. Check it out. Those that honor me, I will honor them. But now those that despise me will be lightly esteemed. So we can't ignore that. Because if I'm going to see honor that comes from God, in fact, St. John chapter 5, 44 declares that there is an honor that comes from God only. If I'm going to get the honor that comes from God, then I've got to make sure that I'm honoring God in order for me to be honored by God. Now, let's really dissect this word honor so we can practically get a hold of what we're going to have to do in order to position ourselves in honor so that we'll get the honor that comes from God and our faith will work because we're in the right position. All right, now watch this. Literally, the word honor means heavy. It means weighty, to make heavy, to weigh down. It means to carry weight. That word honor, to make heavy, to weigh down, to carry weight. Now, to honor God, first of all, we have to understand that you don't honor God when you don't honor His Word. God and His Word are one. So in order, whatever you plan on doing towards God, you're going to have to plan on doing towards His Word. Now, to honor God means that His Word carries so much weight in your life that nothing else anyone says or nothing happening around you will influence you. God's Word carries so much weight in your life that nothing that anyone says and nothing that's going on around you will influence you. In other words, His Word is so heavy that it has major influence in your life. Not only major influence, it's the number one influence in your life. There's nothing that has a bigger influence in your life like God's Word. And that's what you're saying. When you honor God's Word, you are saying that I am now allowing God's Word to carry weight in my life. That God's Word has great influence in my life. That God's Word is heavy in my life. Not only heavy, not only weighty, but it is heavier than anything else. His Word weighs in heavier than anybody else's word. It weighs in heavier than the words of the media, than the words of the devil, than the words of your friend. It's heavy. It carries influence. It is the major influence in your life. Now, that is an adjustment that we make. It is an adjustment that we make in our attitude. It's an adjustment we make in how we live our lives. That the Word of God, when we say God's Word is final authority and that we honor God, we are saying His Word carries weight. And there is nothing that anybody says that's going to be heavier than His Word. There is nothing going on around me, no circumstance or situation around me that's going to carry more weight than God's Word. Now, if you look at just where we are right now today in our country, you must not allow the financial situations of this country and this world to become heavier than what God has to say. Because God says, I am going to satisfy you in the midst of famine. Now, that word has got to be heavier than the words of the news media as they said, well, you know, they closed another bank today. Well, you know, they laid off somebody else today. Well, you know, you might be next. No, 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 no. No, your words don't carry weight in my life. It may carry weight in somebody else's life, but the word that carries weight in my life is that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Are you listening to me? So when I decide to honor God like this, I am saying his word is the preeminent word. It's heavy. It's weighty. It carries weight in my life. So when I talk about honor God, when we're talking about honoring God this afternoon, nothing else carries more weight in the decisions we make. Nothing else will carry more weight in the words that we speak. And nothing else will carry more weight than the actions that we take. Nothing else than the word of God. Now listen to that carefully again. When I say I honor God, nothing else carries more weight in the decisions you make. So my decisions are going to be based in and influenced by the word of God, because I honor God and I honor his word, and what he has to say is going to be the chief influence in the decisions that I make. Not the money that I'm promised, not the things that I'm promised. The word of God will outweigh all of those things. See, the word of God means that honoring God means that his word is even going to be heavier than the opportunities promised you for success. Heavier. I mean, somebody can come and give you a wonderful opportunity for success. But then what does God's word say? What did God say? What is God telling you to do? You may say, well, I'm being offered a job making 5 times more than I'm making right now. But God says, I don't want you to go anywhere. I called you to this church. I want you to stay here. His word's got to be heavier than the opportunity for greater success. If that's not the case, then we're not talking about honor. And what I'm seeing right now is I'm seeing Christian people allowing the circumstances to weigh in heavier than God's word, almost to the point where they're not even considering God's word. Now, what's the deal then? When you get to that place, then you're going to be lightly esteemed. And now you're trying to figure out how come things aren't working the way they need to work. And how come, you know, my prayers are not being answered. And how come my confessions seem like they're not working? It's because I am no longer walking in honor and causing God's word and making God's word heavier than the circumstances and situations around me. To honor God. And you know, if we don't do anything but spend all afternoon on just this definition, I want it ringing in your ear. Every time something confronts you, I want it coming up in your spirit. Wait a minute. God's word weighs in heavier than this situation. God's word weighs in heavier than this opportunity. God's word weighs in heavier than what everybody else is saying. And you got to be, listen, folks are saying stuff. The talk shows are saying things. The news anchor people are saying things. And if you're not in God's word, and if you're not keeping that word before your eyes, so you can tell when you're no longer keeping that word before your eyes, because, you know, all of a sudden now you're in agreement with the world. But when you keep it that word before your eyes and you're looking right on and it's before your eyes and the doctor says that you have cancer and you say, no, I'm healed. Why? Because that word remains before your eyes. You just keep looking at that word. You just keep staring at that word. Now, if you put that word aside and you go to staring at and checking out and listening to what everybody else is saying, then all of a sudden we're going to be able to tell it. We're going to be able to tell it because, you know, you can tell when a person no longer has a word. I mean, their attitude's different. They act different. They're not the same. The faith is not there because they're considering what we're going to look at a little later on, the contradictions to the word. And I'm telling you right now, faith will contradict your circumstances. I said faith will contradict your circumstances. So to honor God's word, means that nothing else is going to carry more weight in my decisions I make. Nothing else is going to carry more weight in the words that I speak. I'm going to honor God by making sure that His word carries more weight, you know, determining what I say and how I speak than everything else and the things that are going on around me. You know, for example, you'll have a lot of opportunities to murmur and complain and, enter into questioning in doubt. Well, how come God let this happen? Or how come God allowed that to happen? And why didn't God do this? And see, you know, you're not honoring God's word because he told you what to say. But you're not going to the Bible to find out what he told you to say. And so you're saying stuff he didn't tell you to say. For example, let me give an illustration so you can gain concept. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Praise God. Boy, that devil don't like this convention going on this year. Man, the word of God's just been pumping faith in you. Getting you to look inward. I almost didn't want to open my eyes last night. I just wanted to just go home with my eyes closed. I was seeing so much. Brother Keith was talking and I'm thinking, man, I know what you're talking about, man. Yes. Just pumping that faith and get to hear 40-something years of faith teaching from the Copelands as they minister to us and Brother Jerry and Brother Jesse. He don't like this meeting. And I'm telling you, you showed up. And because you showed up, the Holy Ghost is going to be able to show out in you, you know. Now look at Hebrews chapter 13. Ladies and gentlemen, we must not fear. Not for one moment. You know what you call one moment of fear? Doubt. Not for one moment. Look at this. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, he says, let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, look at what he said. Look at what he said. He says, now, I need you to understand that I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Even when it may look like I've left, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, now, I want you to know this so that you can boldly with confidence say, you say the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men can do unto me. You say that. He didn't tell you to say, oh, dear God, it don't look like we're going to ever recover in our finances. He didn't tell you to say, well, you know, the doctor hadn't discovered a cure for this thing yet. He didn't tell you to say that. He didn't tell you to say, oh, Lord, we just don't know what we're going to do. We lost all of our sin. He didn't tell you to say that. So to honor God is to say what he told you to say. And what he told you to say is this. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men can do unto me. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Oh, glory to God. Your children might be under attack, some of you. And you got to watch. You can't go around talking about, well, you know, I don't know what's going on with my kids. They're acting crazier now than they ever acted before. He didn't tell you to say that. He didn't tell you to say that. He wants you to look at them in their face, love them, don't magnify their sins, and say, the Lord is my helper. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout, the Lord is my helper. Say it again, the Lord is my helper. Now, the Bible says he's a very present help in a time of trouble. And I don't know about you, but I rejoice when I don't quite know how to figure this thing out, that I just begin to say what he told me to say. The Lord is my helper. And you know what? The Lord's been helping me. He's been helping me. He's been talking to me. He's been showing. And I just say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men can do unto me. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what the stock market can do unto me. The Lord, stock market can't do none to you. The Lord is your helper. You are always going to have more than enough. The world may not have it, but remember, you're in Goshen. The Lord is my helper. Somebody said, well, you know, I lost my job. Well, wait a minute now. You work for God. The Lord is your helper. That assignment's over with, and you're getting ready to go to the next assignment. The Lord is my helper. Somebody shout, the Lord is my helper. I know it sounds simple, but there's something powerful when you can begin to, with boldness and confidence. I mean, think about it. You're walking around while everybody else is stressed out, trying to figure out what their future is all about. And you're saying, the Lord is my helper, because I honor God more than this situation. The Lord's going to help me. And then you invite people to watch. The Lord is my helper, and if you don't believe me, watch. Watch him help me. Watch him help me. And see, what they don't know is you're having a flashback. You remember 5 months ago when the Lord helped you out of a pit. You remember 3 months ago when the Lord helped you pay a bill. You remember a month ago when the Lord healed your baby. You remember 2 weeks ago when the Lord made a way out of no way. And if God did it once, he's able to do it again. Somebody shout, the Lord is my helper. The Lord's my helper. That's what he told me to say. So for me to honor God is for me to allow his word to weigh in on what I say. Let it weigh in on what I say. Don't allow my emotions to weigh in heavier than the word of God. Oh, what do you want me to say? I'll tell you something else he told you to say. Go to Psalms 35. Psalms 35, 27. He says, say it, so say it. You say it because you honor God. This weighs in heavy. Anytime you see him say something, it's going to weigh in heavy on how you talk. Anytime you hear him say this, it's going to weigh in heavy. It's going to have influence over what comes out of your mouth when you honor God. Psalms 35, 27, he said, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be what? Magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Well, I want to pay attention to what he said. I want to honor his word. His word says for me to say continuously, let the Lord be magnified who hath pleasure. God has pleasure in my prosperity. I'm not saying that to try to be deep. I'm saying that first of all, because I honor God's word and I allow it to influence what I say. I'd rather say that than to say I'm broke. I'd rather say the Lord will continually bless me and has pleasure in my prosperity. And I'm talking about not just in my money, but I'm talking about in my prosperity. I'm talking about the success of my spirit, my soul, my physical body, my family, in every arena of life that God wants me to be successful. Now here's what I learned about success. And I thank God for success. But you know what? You don't want to ever stop there. Because there's a difference between being successful and great. A lot of people can be successful, but until you learn how to serve people and love people with the success you have, you ain't gonna never be great. Are you listening to me? And so what is God saying? That is what we take into consideration, and we say we exalt it higher than anything that's going on in our lives, and we put it into place where we begin to speak it out loud. Now, let's give you another example so we can just gain concept of what just may be going on where you have to make a correction. Let's say you're having financial troubles. Well, don't say that, but for an example. Huh? See, you're working on this thing, man, you know? Okay, for an example, let's say an individual has a bill and the financial situations are telling that person, well, you know, you need to go ahead and deal with this bill rather than pay your tithes. And I know there may be some people who've been in that situation before, but listen to this now. And all of a sudden, that financial situation because of the weight of it and the attention you're giving it, it becomes heavy on you. And what we tend to do is decrease away from honoring God while we give priority. Watch this. While we give priority and while we allow the circumstance to become heavier than the Word of God. Now, to honor God in this situation, you would go ahead and pay your tithes. Yeah, to honor God in this situation, you would pay your tithes. Boy, it got quiet in this sanctified church, didn't it? I need to stop right here. I found a place. Yeah, your tithe. Go ahead and say it, tithe. Now, you do know that your tithe is what connects you with the blessing. Well, I don't know about that. Up, no honor, no obedience, and then you're trying to operate on the faith principle. It's not going to work. But in that case, I honor God, and I honor His word where tithing is concerned. That His word on tithing weighs in. It is heavier than the situation. Yeah, but Brother Dollar, what if they turn my lights on? Well, I'm guaranteed by honoring God that He's going to honor me, and those lights will get turned back on. No. I'm not going to allow things outside of the Word to be heavier than the Word. Now, that's a decision you're going to have to make. You're going to have to decide, first base, that the Word of God weighs in heavier than anything else. You got to make that decision. Because now here's the deal. If you fail to make that decision, when the pressure is applied and it comes on you, then, you know, and the word's not in your face and the word's not before your eyes, and it doesn't weigh in, it doesn't carry weight, you won't consider it in your decision making. And you'll find yourself, you know, reduced to your intellect, where you're intellectually looking at things, and God doesn't have problems with your intellect except when you try to exalt it above His and exalt it above His word. Because wisdom's the principal thing.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And wisdom will shine on your knowledge and show you how to do things you don't know how to do. If you'll honor God. And so in that case, I'd pay my tithes. Now, you know, people have problems with that. One news media group got a hold of my philosophy concerning tithing. And he said, I just can't believe that you're telling people to pay their tithe over anything else. Well, first of all, I'm teaching the word of God. They're going to have to decide if that word weighs in. They're going to have to place a value on that word. All of us have to do that. I finally realize, you know, why people, you know, love the movie stars and they love the rock and roll singers and they love everybody except preachers who prosper. I mean, no matter what. I mean, for no reason, really. Well, there's a reason. But in their minds, they think, well, there's no reason. Well, here's the reason. The reason is they don't value what we value. We value the word. We value the preaching of the word. And I had to get to the point where I began to recognize that the attacks are not necessarily at me as much as it is directed at the preaching of this book. The devil don't want this stuff preached. So attack the preacher, attack the preaching, and try to devalue the preaching by trying to devalue the preacher. But the real preachers, if they'll keep preaching and exalting the word greater than all those other things, Are you understanding what I mean when I talk about honoring God? You got to understand you're not of that world. So don't go crying if they say something ugly about you. Don't go, well, dear God, the paper wrote a bad article. I learned this from Brother Kenneth Copeland, my spiritual father, and he puts it in a very eloquent way, that whatever they wrote in the paper will end up at the bottom of a bird cage the next day anyhow.
That's right. That's right. Lord.
See, you can't work so hard at trying to receive honor from men that you forget to honor God. Honor God. Jesus said they hated me and they're going to hate you. Honor God. I mean, they'd always come at Brother Roberts. I mean, there was some guy that shot that bullet that went through your hair. Shot a bullet at him and it went through his hair and he had a chance to go, why'd you try to kill me? And the guy said, he don't know. Just demon possessed, and every devil in the world wants to attack the preaching of the gospel. And we can't shut up because they don't understand our book. I'm not going to stop tithing because somebody said they disagree with it. Are you serious? No, the word weighs in heavier than their opinions. Are you listening to me? I am going to stick with this word. This word got us where we are, ladies and gentlemen. I like what Michael says. When I fall, I shall arise. I mean, if you've fallen before, you've gotten up before, don't you allow the situations around you to keep you down. I heard people say, well, I can't tithe anymore like I used to because of the financial crisis. I told you that is the world's crisis. Well, you know, we're in recessions. Y'all know we don't participate in recessions. We're not in a recession. We're at recess. But we have to make a decision that God's word carries weight and that we're going to honor God. We're going to honor his word and we're going to allow his word to weigh in on those issues of our lives. So if we only do what he says when it is convenient and when it costs us nothing, then there's no honor in that. If we only do what he says when it's convenient, if we only allow his word to weigh in when it doesn't cost us anything, there is no honor in that. And I want us as Christian people to begin to rise up and demonstrate to this wicked world, we honor God. You cannot defeat us because, listen, whatever you compromise to keep, that's what you're going to lose. Whatever you compromise to keep, that's what you're going to lose. And so we're not talking about the word weighs in. It's heavy in our lives only when it doesn't cost us anything. You know, people love to try to do things that don't cost them anything. You know, a few months ago, I taught on church attendance and made sure that word got to all of our churches and told them that, you know, the first thing you can count on is when you stop coming to church regularly, you're going to start getting yourself out of a position where you can be corrected, like Brother Copeland was just talking about, and receiving some things and you're gonna be going downstream and not even know it. And it always starts with a lack of church attendance. Just can't figure out how to show up because, you know, it's just not a convenient time, Brother Dollar. You don't understand the business that I prayed to God about and the business that God gave me is now too busy for God. So now we exalt the answered prayer higher than the one who gave the answer. How many of you know your life's out of line then? And then faith won't work. So this issue of honor has got to be exalted to the very forefront of our thinking so that right thinking produces right believing and right believing produces right talking, and then right talking will produce the right victories that we should have in our lives. Now go to Matthew 15, verse 8. You kind of know, you know where we're going? Do you know where we're going? Hello? You understand what we've said so far? Okay, talk back to me. It's polite to talk back when somebody's talking to you. Talk to me. I like folk talking to me. I like to know you're here. Amen. Matthew 15. Because if you don't talk back to me, I talk all night. I just talked to 7 o'clock. I said, well, they weren't saying nothing back. I didn't know if nobody was here. Now, Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Let's read verse 8 out loud together. Ready, read. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart. You know, they were saying, we honor you, Lord. Oh, we honor you, Jesus. But when it came to making decisions, his word didn't weigh in heavier than the circumstances they were facing or the opinions that they had. And yet with their lips, we say we honor you, but in our heart, it didn't weigh in. It didn't carry weight. It didn't carry as much weight as the opinion. It didn't carry as much weight as the circumstance and situation. And I don't want us to get to a point where we're just honoring God with our lips, but it's not really carrying weight when it comes to acting out on these things and seeing things take place in our life. So to honor God and his word means that they're heavier, watch this, than the contradictions. Now, let me talk to you something about the contradiction. Now, the book of Timothy says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Okay, it doesn't come from God. Doesn't come from God. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. If you have it, it does not come from God. You can cast it out. You must not have fear. You must not have it on any level. You must not have it at any degree, because when fear is present, it is an open access for the enemy to come in and to reap havoc in your life. If fear is present in your life, Satan can activate certain things in your life. When fear is present, God is paralyzed. He cannot operate and do anything in your life if fear is present. That's why we must not fear. We cannot do it. But now when we talk about fear and not having it, not possessing it, not making excuses for it, not saying that it's okay to have fear, not say any of those things, things that Brother Copeland's already taught us. We understand we cannot, not for one moment, have it. And that's what this whole circus has been lately with the news and all the things been going on. Satan has tried with all he has to try to put fear in us. But we honor the word. And fear can't get in because the word is so much heavier than the fear trying to get in. But I began to think, well, I know that fear and faith operate by the same spiritual principles. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Fear cometh by hearing and hearing the contradictions to the word of God. Did you hear that? Fear cometh by hearing and hearing the contradictions to the word of God. But now listen to this. In the case where the contradiction comes, we must not allow the contradiction to God's word to weigh in heavier than God's word. Look what happened. Genesis chapter 3. Go over there for a moment. Drill, drill, drill. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. I'm setting you up like a mullet fish. I'm going to clean you real good, make sure we all together. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, Well, you know, she ain't had no business talking to no serpent. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't talk to a serpent. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. God says, you will. The serpent says, you won't. God says, you shall surely die. The serpent says, you shall not surely die. Wow. What do we have here? We have the word of God versus the contradiction. The word of God versus the contradiction. Like God's word says, Philippians 4, for example, 19, my God shall supply all of your demands. That word, there's the word need, but it's in light of God filling to the full. God filling the order that you put up. My God shall supply all of your demands. He'll fill to the full your demands according to his riches and glory through and by Christ Jesus. All right. So now when we honor God, we're going to say now that weighs in on our life. And then the contradiction comes. It comes on the news, the talk shows, the papers, even some Christians at some churches. Here's the contradiction. Our needs are not being met. This is a time where needs are not being met. Well, wait a minute. God says, I will supply. I have a supply. There is a heavenly supply, an infinite amount in heaven for us. There is no shortage in heaven. Listen, the kingdom of God does not need a stimulus package. There is no shortage in the kingdom. There is no shortage in the kingdom. But now, if you begin to allow the contradiction to God's word to weigh in heavier than what God's word says, and you start putting time over there and you got the contradiction in your eyes. Word's not in your eyes anymore. Contradiction's in your eyes and you're looking at it all the time and you're listening to it all the time. Here's what you're giving birth to. You're giving birth to fear. Because fear is born out of those seeds of contradiction. Just like faith grows out of the word of God, fear grows out of the contradictions to the word of God. And you spend your time worrying with the contradiction in your face, it works just like faith with the promise in front of your face. And the thing you fear the most is going to come upon you because you allowed the contradiction to God's word to weigh in heavier than God's word. Now, here's another thing. How will you ever recognize the contradictions to God's word if you don't ever read God's word? How are you going to ever know what contradicts what the Lord said, what the word says, and you won't get in it? I'm telling you, the lives can greatly change in the body of Christ if we just read the Bible. Amen. Instead of letting somebody else tell us what our book says. For years, they went around and said, well, you know, like the Bible said, money is the root of all evil. It's not in there. It says the love of money or a wrong attachment to money or a wrong relationship with money is the root of all evil. Are you listening to me? Money by itself is neither good or bad. It depends on who has it, who possesses it. When we possess it, we're going to build a kingdom. When someone that doesn't value the kingdom of God and value our word, when they possess it, then they're going to build what they value. And so the contradiction. All right, now, so fear is born out of that. You read later, you will find in this chapter, you will find Adam and Eve hiding themselves from the presence of God. Fear had come on them because they zeroed in. They put the contradiction in front of their face rather than the word of God. Now, my question to you this afternoon, what do you have in front of your eyes? What are you looking at the most? What are you paying attention to the most? What's going through your eye gate the most? What's going through your ear gate the most? What's coming out of your mouth the most? Because listen, whatever's going through your eyes, whatever's going through your ears, whatever's coming out of your mouth in abundance, when you act on it, it will overcome and overwhelm your life. That is the law of receiving. So you have to ask, what is in my, what's before my eyes? Am I paying more attention to the contradictions to God's word, giving way to fear? Fear will grow out of those contradictions. And when that fear comes, then Satan has an access point into your life, and he can cause things to be manifested in your life. And don't add worry to it, because what you're doing now, you're doing what Brother Keith talked about last night. Worry is meditating on negative things or meditating on the contradiction to the word. You're going to start worrying so much about whatever the thing is, you're going to start seeing with your inward eye.
Oh, yeah.
The tragedy. And just like the other way around, you'll be a participant in your own destruction if you don't watch that. Your inner image, there is a very neglected part of the covenant that we've got to begin to deal with, and that is that inner image of the covenant. The fact that an Abraham went out and you didn't have Bible written like this, but he has some stars, and he said, go out and look at the stars, and so shall your seed be, and go to the beach and look at the sand, and so shall your seed be. And it got on the inside of him, and he saw it in a figure. He saw it in an image. And there's something about once you can see it, nothing will be restrained from you. Once you can get a hold of it on the inside, it will not be restrained from you. You can't have what you say until you have what you say when you say it. You got to have it. You understand what I'm saying? You have to possess the... Yeah. So let's not pay attention to the contradiction. Look at what Jesus did. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. By faith, I receive the tangible presence of the glory, Shekinah glory of God. I don't want to pick the paper up and read that somebody else's roof is on fire. I want my roof to look like it's on fire. I'm in great expectation, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in great expectation of what we all possess if we understand and come to the place of understanding what we already have and just go ahead and step out and quit waiting to see if something going to happen. Make something happen. Y'all want to hear what I'm saying? Step out on something. Take your faith and say, here's what it says. Here's what I heard. Make something happen. I think I'm finally coming to a place of understanding why I spend all of this time meditating in the word, and why I spend all this time praying, and why I spend all this, because I'm trying to get the voice behind that written word. I'm trying to hear, not really try, because I like to say that try is an honest lie. I'm working that out in my vocabulary. Try is an honest lie. You come to church, I'm going to try. That's an honest lie. You lying. You mean, how come you just can't come? Why you got to try to come? But I sense it in my very being. A bursting out. A breaking forth. Hallelujah. Something as simple as I said it and I see it. My faith contradicts circumstances. And when something crazy started happening, I say, I doubt it. You've doubted the word of God. Doubt the circumstance and situation. Doubt the contradiction.
Amen. Yeah.
Now look at what happened here. Because here's where the fight is right here. Hebrews chapter 13. No, what did I say? Hebrews 12. Verse 2.
looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your, what? In your minds. Now listen to this in the Amplified. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself, reckoned up and considered it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your mind. Losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. Losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your mind. We can't faint up here, ladies and gentlemen. We can't lose heart and begin to relax and faint in our mind. The battleground is right up here in your mind. Your mind is the battleground. You win it or lose it in the arena of your mind. Thinking, wrong believing, wrong talking, you are defeated. Battleground. I cannot relax up here and allow certain things to incubate up here and allow certain things to come up here and to create new battles. I cannot relax up here. So consider Jesus. Look at what he endured. And look at the things that, the contradictions that he endured. And they were saying all kinds of stuff and coming with him in all kinds. And that word was heavier than all of the contradictions that ever came before him. He'd made his mind up. Hear what I just said? He'd made his mind up. Well, I make my mind up like I make my bed. I make my mind up with the word of God. My mind's made up. Praise God. I'm sticking with the book. I'm sticking with what God has to say. Now, as I was studying this, here's what I heard. If we honor God's word and it carries weight in our life and we obey it, if we honor God's word and it carries weight in our life and we obey it, then God, heaven, will honor our words when we pray, because it will carry weight and you'll see results. Well, isn't that what he said? He said, if you honor him, he will what? Honor you. So if his words carry weight in your life and you obey those words, it carries weight in your life and you obey it, then when you pray and when you confess and when you speak to mountains, those words carry weight. Now, here's the thing that we got to make sure we're not doing. You know, I like to challenge our church to understand that some of these things that I'm saying, you're going to have to begin to apply pressure and work. You're going to have to get a partner and say, all right, let's work together on this. And every time I'm saying something I'm not supposed to say, then you bring about the correction. And that's the good thing about coming to church and getting around fellowship, so we can reprove and correct and exalt and all that kind of stuff with one another. But it is so important that you start believing everything you say, even when you're not quoting scripture. Because if you want a reaction, you got to keep your faith hot by not talking words. What's this word I'm looking for? Sarcasm. Sarcasm can be a huge enemy that will stop the 12-hour result that Brother Copeland was teaching on. How is it that Jesus could come and say what he said to that fig tree and then 12 hours later see the results? He's demonstrating what could happen to us. Well, here's the deal. Jesus didn't say nothing he didn't believe. Jesus didn't go around and say, boy, you know what, you took of me so bad, man, I almost died last night laughing at you. You don't believe that, but you say that. Somebody says, oh, we're getting ready to talk about that again. Yeah, we're talking about all the stuff that got us where we are right now, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we got to talk about that.
So if you're saying that, 70% of the time, and then only 30% of the time, you're confessing the word of God that you believe, then no wonder you just get 30-fold. Because 60% of the time, 70% of the time, you're saying stuff you don't believe. So I also believe we'll have what we say if we have what we say, but I also believe that we've got to believe what we are saying. Are you following what I'm saying? We got to believe what we are saying. When you're not saying the word, which is where we want to be saying the word, but you know, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying when you're not at a believer's convention? What are you saying when you're at mom and them house? What are you saying when you're out to dinner with Pookie and Shaquita? And what are you saying? Because I believe that is going to determine, it is going to determine the rate by which certain things can be manifested in our life. It's like a reaction of two chemicals. I mean, there's a slow reaction if the base is hot or not hot, and I'm not a chemist, and you mix things together. What determines a quick reaction or immediate reaction versus a reaction is reacting, but it's slow to get there. A person who now believes by his stripes I'm healed, but they've been saying other things and it's reacting, but it's slow to get there. Versus a 12-hour reaction, I believe that we can have a 12-hour reaction too. That we ought to be able to speak and see things happen. Amen? And it's all based in this area of honor. Now, I don't know where to close. I just got to quit somewhere. Now, I'm headed towards dealing with how to honor God with your money.
Amen.
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 You understand what I'm saying? Because if you don't know how to honor God, you're not going to know how to honor God with your money. And people say, you have to honor God with your money. You got to tithe. No. Please listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Get this right. I give because I love God, I respect God, and I honor God.
Amen.
I already know when you jump in water, you're going to get wet. I already know when you sow a seed, you're going to get a harvest. But my motivation for giving, my motivation for sowing is I love God, I honor God, I respect God.
Amen.
I get to tithe.
Amen.
And I get to give, and I get to sow, and I get to do all these things. Because I don't need a commandment to do it. I love God. I am in the New Testament. I am under that law of love. What I do out of love towards the Father. I love to tithe. I love to give. Why? Because listen, you can't talk about honor and not talk about love. I mean, when you say you honor somebody, then you love that person. They have priority in your life. They have value in your life. And I love God. And I honor God. I just want the whole world to get it. And sometimes, I've had people to disagree with me and I mean badly disagree with me, but I still honor God and I still want everybody to get it. And I still believe that everybody can prosper. Not just financially, I'm talking about the abundant life in every area of your life. I still believe you can do that. You're supposed to do that. But I believe it starts with, where are your priorities? Is God first?
Come on.
Because when he's not first and you replaced him, then that thing you replaced him with is an idol.
That's right.
And the scripture warns us, little children, don't get involved with idols. But that's where I'm headed towards. I'm headed towards getting us to a place where we can, by faith and even dealing with finances, what happens when you honor God with your capital? what happens when you start. See, the foundation of what I'm talking about today is when you honor God, he honors you. And when he honors you, he's going to honor you like nobody else can honor you. And when he honors you, there is an honor that comes from God only. And you set yourself up when you're saying, all right, now, God, here's my money and I am going to give this to you. But now here's what I want you to do. Give me a word over this. Speak into my life concerning what you want me to do with this money. Speak to me. And here's how I'm going to honor you. I'm going to obey what you tell me to do with the money.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to do what you tell me to do with the money. Amen. Amen. Well, why don't I just go there for a minute and then we can close. Go to Proverbs. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So you can't say you honor God and there's no treasure anywhere. Proverbs 3:9. Proverbs 3:9. Let's read verse 9 out loud together. Ready? Read. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with your substance. The Amplified says, honor the Lord with your capital from righteous labor. So he's talking about money, right? Honor the Lord with your money. Well, how do I honor God with my money? Well, I'm going to do what God tells me to do with it. Well, yeah, praise God. Absolutely. I'm going to do and follow the instructions that have been given to me from God's word where my money is concerned. But I'm also going to honor God by giving him the authority to speak and to be obeyed. Father, before I give, speak to my heart on what you would have me to give. And he speaks to my heart. I want you to give a certain amount. And I say, okay, I will do it. Why? Because now his word is still heavy. It's heavy in my life. It's, you know, God will speak to you and say, give this amount. And then there may be a circumstance that will come and say, well, now, wait a minute. Now, you hold on now. You remember you got this. Let God's word come heavier than that circumstance. Why? Because he, no, listen, that honor sown is going to be honor reaped. And that's you can't allow the fear. See, all of us come. You can't allow the fear and all those things to come to stop you from doing what God tells you to do. Listen, when God takes the time to say something to you, baby, get ready. Breakthrough coming. You got to do what he says to do. Obeying him. Obeying him. Now, what happens? Every time you obey him when he speaks to you concerning your finances or any other area of your life, then that honor comes and he's going to speak more. And that honor is going to come. He's going to speak more. Now, what happens when you choose not to give him the authority to speak and to obey him? Well, your heart is harder and it becomes more difficult to hear from him. And he says, you know, like I said, I was on the pulpit one time and I said, Lord, what would you have me to give in this offering? And he said, I want you to write a check for $10,000. I said, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And then I went through this little thing. Was this me? Was this God? Or was it the devil? Now, you better answer that. Well, first of all, it's not me because I wasn't really excited about giving $10,000. Secondly, it wasn't the devil. He don't want me investing $10,000 into the kingdom. Amen. And so you answer that question. It's almost like thankfulness produces fruitfulness and thanklessness will produce fruitlessness. And the more you are not gracious to God and grateful to God and you're not thankful to God, then the darker it gets and then the darker it gets and you get so far away from understanding what to do. You don't even know what's going on. And the more you thank God, the lighter it gets, and you're enlightened, and you know exactly what to do. It's the same thing where obeying God, when he begins to speak to you concerning your capital, and you begin to obey him, and then he shows up and he says, do this, and you begin to obey him, and what happens? You find yourself in this wealthy place. You find yourself in this healthy place. You find yourself in this wonderful, abundant place. Because you obeyed God, you became a barefooted priest and you were not afraid to just step out and do what God told you to do. You look not at the things that are seen,
but you looked at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary or subject to change, but the things that are not seen are eternal, and God will bless you with that. These are simple truths we know about, but we got to apply this issue of honor to all of it, and then the principles of faith, and we'll see things work like they're supposed to work, do what like they're supposed to do. You get anything out of that this afternoon? Let's stand to your feet and let's make this confession of faith together. Praise God. You ready? All right, lift your hands up. Say this out loud with me. In the name of Jesus, I repent for any opportunity that I had to honor you and I didn't do it. From this moment forward, your word is heavier than any circumstance, any situation that comes in my life. I honor you, Lord, by making your word the number one influence in my life. Thank you, Lord, that you said that if I honor you, that you'll honor me. So right now, I receive the honor that comes from God only. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll finish that in the morning.